You know, two pieces. First of all, as Shuli so beautifully mentioned, we're in the shul of the Mechaber of Yosef Karo, so we shall learn a little bit of his magnus opus, of his Shulchan Aruch. But also it's important to know that Rav Yosef Karo was also the Av Beis Din of Tzfat when he was here, which meant that, you know, his influence was felt way beyond just the walls of this beautiful shul. His impact was felt throughout the community. It's also important to understand, I think most of us are Ashkenazic Jews on this trip, you know, that there's a very different way in which Ashkenazim and Sfardim view their rabbis. So Ashkenazim, so the rabbi is great as long as...
He does what you say.
Exactly. So meaning, you know, there's a famous mice with the Chassam Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer once had a very large din Torah, a large legal dispute between two of his wealthiest balabatim. And he was able to resolve it in a way that everybody was happy, which of course is exceptionally unique. And both of them came over to me and said, what could we do for the Rav? The Rav was so masterful in helping us to resolve it. What could we do? So the Chassam Sofer said, just do me a favor. The next time you get angry at me, just throw small stones instead of large ones. That's by the Ashkenazim. Sfardim, of course, have exceptionally reverential treatment of rabbinic leaders. That's why, interestingly enough, you know, you'll never hear a Sephardic Jew refer to Rav Yosef Karo as Rav Yosef Karo. They call him Maran. In fact, one of the only other people who's called Maran is Rav Aji Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. That's how much reverence. Rav Yosef Karo was the one, as Shuli mentioned so beautifully, was the one who took halacha and made it practical. You know, beforehand, if you wanted to know the halacha, I want to know what to do on Shabbos. So what would you do if you wanted to know what to do on Shabbos? You'd open up the tractate of the Talmud and Masechah Shabbos, and you try to go ahead and figure it out. Now, if you've ever seen anything to do with the Gemara is not organized, meaning you can't open up a piece of Gemara and try to figure out, can I put the pot back on the blech on Shabbos or not? If you could learn through it, but it might take you, you know, a few weeks, and then you'll know what to do on the fourth Shabbos, what to do. The Mechaber of Yosef Karo called all of the teachings, really from the Rambam, and organized them in a methodical piece called the Shulchan Aruch. So we'll just learn the first halacha of the Shulchan Aruch, because it's perhaps one of the most important halachos in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber writes, this is Simen Aleph, Sif Aleph. Shulchan Aruch writes, Yisgaber Ka'ari La'amod baboker la'avodas boro. A person should get up like a lion in the morning to go ahead and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean to wake up with lions? So to make this contemporarily relevant, the Mechaber was anti-snooze. He was anti-snooze. There's no such thing as snoozing your alarm in the worldview of the Mechaber. But rather, again, Yisgaber Kari. It's not just enough to get up. A person has to get up like a lion, la'avodas boro. But listen to this phrase. That would have been enough. Shehu ma'orer hashachar. I should be the one that awakens the dawn. And don't let the dawn awaken me. But you understand, people often think that halacha is just a series of do's and don'ts. You can do this, don't do this. Halacha, Jewish law, is also the way through which the rabbis express to us moral and ethical imperatives as well. So what does it mean to awaken the dawn? So what the Mechaber is teaching us is the following. All of us have things we want to accomplish in life. But what happens? In order for me to accomplish what I need to do, so I need this one to do this, I need this one to do this, I need this one to do this, I need the planets to be in perfect alignment, I need the weather to be perfect, I need a northwest breeze at approximately 5 knots, and when all of that lines up, then I'm going to do my piece. Says the Mechaber, that's not how life works. If you want light in life, don't wait for someone or something else to create the light. Shehe hu ma'orer hashachar. If you want the dawn, you bring the dawn. If you want the dawn, you create the dawn. If you want great things to occur in this world, don't outsource your spiritual growth or accomplishment. If you want great things to happen, you need to make them happen on your own. That's the moral ethical lesson the Mechaber gives us. Beautiful gift in this first opening line of Shulchan Aruch. And I'll just end with one last piece. As Shuli so beautifully mentioned, and we're really lucky to have such a wonderful guy today, like Shuli. But quoted the Gemara Maseches Menachos, where, you know, the Gemara says that the Tcheles, which is the blue in this shul, Tcheles Demele Yam, so Tcheles resembles the sea, Yam Demele Rakia, sea resembles the sky, and the sky resembles the Kisya HaKavod. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh asks a very simple question. He says, I don't understand. Cut out the middleman. Why don't you just say blue resembles the Kisya HaKavod? Right? Just say it. The blue resembles the throne of God. Why all the steps? And says the Baal Shem Tov so beautifully. Because again, Chazal trying to teach us an important lesson. That growth in Ruchnias, growth in spirituality, must be incremental. Must ultimately, again, only progress by steps. Those who try to go from this world to the Kisei HaKavod fall right on their face. So instead, everyone loves dramatic growth, but dramatic growth is often not sustainable. But if I start here on the earth, and I become a little bit more vast like the sea, and then I become a little less earthly like the sky, and I take my time in my growth, and I sustain my growth, then Amir Hashem will all have the opportunity to reach the Kisei HaKavod.
Alright, what we're going to do, guys, we're going to walk another 5 minutes, we're going to be out of there, a couple of steps to our second and last one.